other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Monday, May 19th. It is the 19th, right?
Good morning. It is, yeah.
Well, usually you count on me to tell you what day it is.
I do, but I know it was the 18th yesterday. Yeah.
I can't be asking you.
It is. It's the 19th.
Yeah, well, welcome everybody to the show. Welcome to Monday, another great week. Mm-hmm. And, well, I plan to make it a great week. I don't know about you, but, you know.
It will be. It will be,
huh?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Does the week start on Sunday or Monday? That's always a big question.
It depends, I guess, who you're asking,
mm-hmm,
right?
Definitely.
To me, it starts on Monday. You know, Sunday's like the last day of the week
when we
relax.
Right.
Yeah. So, okay, so go on.
Well, I'm going to start it with my week was Sunday because I had a great day yesterday. So I'm
going to
carry on that week.
Wow, what happened yesterday?
I'm the host for a new spearfishing show that's going to be on Dish and Dish Network and DirecTV.
Spearfishing?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that something new to you?
It is. Yeah. I've always been, I mean, because I swam and I've always been adventurous and outdoorsy. That's always been me.
Right.
But spearfishing was definitely something new.
Really?
And yesterday was our first day shooting, and it was great.
It was so much fun,
yeah.
Sounds good. So you went, like, to the ocean and stuff like that?
Yeah, we were down in Palos Verdes, but it was down by... It wasn't where I think Palos Verdes is. It was down by Long Beach.
Okay.
And we're in the water. We got there at, like, 6 a.m. We're in the water for about 3.5 hours.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Being taught how to spear fish, trying to for the first time.
Uh-huh.
I didn't get one.
No, huh? Well, you need some practice on that, I imagine.
Yeah, but it was so cool just being down there with... And there's so much kelp and all the schools of fish conglomerate around the kelp. And it was just really cool to be out there. Yeah.
Wow, that's very nice. So when is the show going to be on?
We're still in the filming process.
So I see. Okay. So it's been...
Okay. So we're just starting to get everything together and get going.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Well, great. So we have a very exciting guest waiting in the wings here, and we'll get to him in just a second. We just wanted to bring up a couple of things. So I'm glad. So now, did your swimming have anything to do with the fact that you qualified for this?
Definitely, yeah.
Really?
Because they wanted somebody that they wouldn't be scared about in the water. They didn't want to be nervous, not knowing if this person could swim.
Right.
Because, I mean, yeah, I can host and I have experience in that, but they need somebody that can also... hold themselves in the water. And I mean, being out there for 3.5 hours.
That's true.
So
you were in the water the whole time?
Yeah.
Really?
The whole time, yeah.
Wow.
My body is so sore today. And I had a big rash on my face yesterday.
Really?
That's why I don't have any makeup on today, because I'm trying to let my skin breathe. From the suction of the mask, it was so tight the whole time.
Oh, wow.
That I had a huge rash on my face. I was like, no.
Wow.
But yeah, so I'm letting my face breathe today so it doesn't hopefully get worse. I mean, it's a lot better this morning.
But you must have worn a wetsuit or something, right?
Yeah, wetsuit, boots, flippers, gloves, snorkel and mask.
Was it cold, though, the water?
You know, the wetsuit was really helped. It wasn't that bad until probably it got into hour 3.
Uh-huh.
And when I got out, my hands were so numb, I couldn't even unzip my wetsuit.
Oh, my God.
Because my hands were just... It was so numb.
Wow.
My lips were numb, everything. But I didn't really feel it in the water till the last, I would say, hour.
Yeah.
And then I was like, man, it's really cold.
Yeah. Was there like a large crew doing this?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, there was a lot of us.
Like cameras and things like that?
Yeah. But the current was so... It was huge. Like, so... And that was the scariest part. Because, I can swim and everything. But the current was just... It was just insane. Wow. It was really insane to me. We were being pushed in and pushed out and being, and then diving under the water to see the fish with the spears. And so it was challenging, but it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, awesome. I'm really happy for you. I mean, you've done quite a bit, you know, like you posted, you know, on Facebook. I thought it's amazing. You were talking about how you got here about a year ago, almost exactly
it's
a year
almost
ago.
Almost a year ago, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And you knew nobody and all this stuff, and now you got all these gigs.
Yeah.
All these great gigs, yeah. You know. Well, you're destined to big things. What can I say, you know?
Thank you. It's been a hard year. I've worked my butt off, but.
Really? You. Has it been hard for you, would you say?
Yeah, I mean,
just getting
adjusted
to new
places. Yeah, getting adjusted and meeting new friends and meeting new people. Mm-hmm. But I'm a hard worker, so
yes,
it's worked out okay.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, you work hard and it pays off, you know.
Exactly.
Many
exactly.
people don't realize that. They just stay at home and wait for it to come to them.
Right, exactly.
It doesn't work that mm-hmm. way. Yeah. All right, well, there's a lot of exciting things, but we have an even more exciting guest in the studio. And we have the comedian Gallagher. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you.
And we actually just met a few minutes ago. And that's usually the case with the guests. I never meet them before and stuff. And that's what makes it exciting, to get to know them along with the audience as well. But, of course, those of us that are older than Charlotte, for example, remember Gallagher from back in the 70s, 80s. I know I used to watch you. I think you were on, all kinds of channels. They didn't have the Comedy Channel and all that back then, MTV and all that. But you were still on TV quite a bit. So were those your golden years, the 70s?
No, I started in 1980.
In 1980?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm confusing this a little bit. Well, you know, you think 35 years ago, it's hard to pinpoint. So when did you get started in comedy?
When I noticed that you could do anything you wanted to on the cable, mm-hmm. this was exciting. And so I wanted to make my own shows. And so I made shows with costumes and props, and I thought about the whole picture. Because I think that most comedians don't take advantage of television. They just stand there and talk. And we've got plenty of talking heads. We can watch them on Sunday news. We can watch them every day on the news on talk. We needed something that filled the screen with color and action. That's and true. I'm always amazed that the other comedians didn't notice that. I made 14 one-hour shows in the 80s for Showtime. And I don't think any of them ever thought about what they looked like on the screen. I really like Kevin James. He's an excellent physical comedian. And he did a show where he wore black against a dark curtain. Mm-hmm. And so the entire 1 hour, you just see his face and his hands floating. Like you're floating probably just head. Shaking your head because you know men don't notice anything. And so it's just more. But there's plenty of women comedians also that I don't think pay attention to the TV. I'm just amazed at how smart I am and how stupid the world is. It all seems so easy, but yet the world doesn't grab a hold. I have patents for making the world a better place. I have a toilet that doesn't overflow when the kids put the toilet paper in. I have a shower head that stops when you step back out of the water. And I have new software for slot machines to make them more involving and fun. There's no noise anymore in the casinos. The money's all gone. The coins are gone. There's no fun and laughter. In fact, the whole casino business is probably going to go the way of the bookstore. If you had a casino and you noticed that Amazon made bookstores go away, no one really needs a location. What would make you so secure about having a casino outside a town on a reservation that people had to drive to when they could get these games online? As soon as online gaming is allowed, because the states notice they're going to make more money from online gaming than what they're getting from the casino operators, it's over for casinos.
Wow.
It's but all going to be people, about the software.
But don't people go for the experience? I mean, it's
you
a
better
resort,
hope that.
You know?
But then they're going to be in the business of hiring entertainers like myself that know how to pitch a party, that know how to be the center of attention and have fun. And a lot of them don't understand entertainment. I mean, if you're not from this country or you're in an area where, well, there's a lot of Polish people in the Midwest up around North and South Carolina, Dakota, you have to know those folks.
Yeah.
You have to know polka bands, you know. I know you're from England, and they have their south of London is different than
that's true.
The north, but we're so foolish here. I saw this Batman movie, and we over here we think anybody with an English accent is upper crust.
Right.
But that actor that they got to play his butler actually has a South London accent.
Oh, really?
Well, I looked him up. I was going to appear. He was going to be on the. On the Dave Letterman show with me, and I wanted to have questions and things. I wanted to know something about him.
Was that Michael Caine?
Yeah, okay. I love Mike. I love that movie, The Man Who Would Be King. It's such a wonderful. I just love that, and so I wanted to know more about him if I was going to be there with him. But then he canceled. So so much for that bit of information. You know, you mentioned water, and I'm really upset about water. Over the weekend, I read about how the boaters, the sailors that are going to be in the Olympics are practicing in Buenos Aires, and the water is so polluted. They talked about seeing bodies, human bodies, dead dogs, fecal material. It's prominent. I mean, it's what's trending. Hey, let's get in there and notice whatever. And there's no way in 2 years that they can clean it up. And the buildings are not going to be ready. It looks like this Olympics in 2016 is going to be a big fiasco. And it's all about water. You know, one day I was flying into LAX and I saw the water treatment plant at the end of the runway. And I thought, I'll go out there after we land and just see what's going on. Because that's how I am. I'm curious and I want to know. Right. People think this is unusual because everyone's so lazy these days. And so I went out there and I discovered that that we only treat 25% of the toilets, the effluent here in L.A., and 75%. We always feel so superior to Tijuana, who doesn't treat their water at all. And in fact, that's what you're swimming in. Tijuana's water goes right out, comes up the coast past San Diego and la 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 la.
Well, it was very murky.
Yeah. Well, you're lucky you were south of the pipe that comes out from LAX. But there was a big fish kill. Did you hear about that? I mean, they're in that area. They were scooping them up, tiny anchovies, I think they were calling them.
Really?
Water quality, you're going to run into that right away with a spearfishing show because you need to be able to see.
Exactly.
And we're not doing the best here in the United States. If they take you down to Florida, I'm from Tampa, Florida, we had a fishing reporter on the news. It was normal that they would go to Salty Saul and he would tell where the reds were running every day in Tampa Bay because there's so much fishing opportunities there.
Well, but Tampa and Siesta Key. I went to school at Florida State in Tallahassee, so I know a lot about Florida.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, in Key West. I mean, it's so the water's so clear out there.
It's
but
different,
huh? The environment is not good underwater. It's not what it used to be, and the fish are not there anymore because the coral's not there, because the plants aren't there. I'm a chemist also. I was a chemist until I was 30 years old, and so I know a little bit about.
Yeah, you seem like a very curious person, you know.
Oh, I am.
You like to learn a lot of different things.
I like comedy because it observes human behavior, and so I enjoy this. I wanted to be the smartest guy that was ever dumb enough to want to be a comedian. And so, because they all seem so Animal House, fraternity, stupid, beer-drinking idiots, and I wanted to use language and thought to make people think while they're laughing, And so I appreciate that my fans come up to me and say, Gallagher, it's not just the smashing. We really enjoy your jokes, the thinking behind them. And so my fans, come back year after year. I've been doing this, like you said, 35 years. And I go all around the United States. I know the pulse of this country much better than the politicians, who only go out when they want your vote and say the things that they think you might want to hear. But I don't. I tell people the truth whether they want to hear it or not. And I don't mind.
So you're in touch with the folks and stuff?
I like your station. You say you're irreverent.
Right.
And I certainly am.
Yes, you are.
People don't want to hear the truth. Everybody wants to be schmoozed. They want to hear that they're great and everything they've done is wonderful. But people usually don't put any thought into what they do. You talk about coming out here from England and getting a job. Most, if you just get up out of your chair and go out, you're ahead of probably three out of four people who want it to happen at their house. They just don't, no energy, no initiative, no fire in the belly. We've got to,
it's true,
got to have this.
I mean, and you've got quite a bit of longevity. I mean, you know, many people.
That's because
many
comedians, I give people a good show at a good price. They finally get their money's worth and they come back with friends. See? And I go out there before the show, an hour. If it's an 8 o'clock show, I'm there in the lobby at 7. I'm not sitting in my dressing room, resting on my laurels.
Yeah.
And I talk to my audience. I know what it is they like about me. See? And I'm doing my market research, aren't I?
That's true.
And so, and they have the shirt I'm wearing is my shirt that I sign shirts for them. I have a new design every two or three years, and we take pictures and they post them. I know how important Facebook is to everybody, but I have to teach them all how to take a picture. They all stand too far back. Yeah. You have to pay for this big chip, and then you only use 5% of it. Nobody understands. They don't know where the light's coming from. Everyone has a camera and no one's a photographer.
Yeah, there
you
go.
They don't think anything. And they all think I'm nuts for wanting them to have a good picture. They'll say, I'll just zoom in. Well, that spreads the pixels and makes it fuzzier. I mean, it's just amazing. I can't believe we're the number one country on the earth. Everyone else must be stupider. Do you remember when, you don't know this, but back when they first had a atomic bombs. You know, they told us to, in case of an atomic attack, to get under a table. That, this is what they said. Duck and cover. This is what, and they showed the children in school were learning to get under their desk.
Whoa.
My God, if you've ever seen that movie that shows how the building gets blown away by the, well, the same thing's happening today. I read where one of these beach buggy guys, the security at the beach, ran over a lady who was laying there on her belly. So we're back was up out at the beach. Just ran over. Well, you know, I'm on the internet all day. I'm cutting edge. I know what's going on. My son has a Dogecoin website where you can only buy products using a virtual currency, and I keep up what's going on.
That Bitcoin thing?
No, it's Doge.
D-O-G-E
is another virtual coin, and they had a car in the recent race at Talladega, and they got together $55,000. This is how it's done on the internet. They just, when they want to do something, everybody chips in, and they put this driver in the race. I was there with my son and advertising Doge. And now they put him in the race that they just had. He got 16th, the car did. So there's a Doge car, you see.
Yeah.
I keep up with things. My son's 25. You know, I want to know what's going on. My spirit is not old, just my body.
Yeah, there you go. And that's the way to do it, you know. So you're going to be, before we forget, you wanted to promote your upcoming weekend.
I wanted everybody to know about a big circle that's being completed. In 1980, I made my album at the Ice House, very famous at that point for folk music in Pasadena. And now I'm making another one. And so this is what, 34 years later, I've come back to make my second album. Because albums, who cares?
Right.
But they're re-releasing all of my videos in a new package, and they wanted some new material. And so I'm going to give them an audio. My son will be playing the sitar during my show. This is what he does. He plays sitar and sells tea. He's called Tea Doge, and he imports tea from China and sells it online for virtual currencies. I am so hip. I'm telling
you. Yes, you are. My God, you're ahead of the curve by a lot.
I am. Who wants to be old? I want to know what's going on.
There you go. Are you kidding me? I'm dealing with 54. You said you're in your 60s. So, yeah, we have to deal with age at a certain point. But the thing is, you don't have to feel old, you know, even when you look old. And I think you look great, by the way. I told you that, you know, so.
This is what old people tell each other.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I'm supposed to say back to you, oh, you look great too. But we know we don't.
Yeah.
We're not. I look at my son, his little tight face and no wrinkles, and I remember how I used to look.
Yeah.
But I have that picture on the back of my shirt. You see there?
Oh, yeah.
This is when I first started in my career.
Right.
So I'm showing.
And your skin was tight at the time, right?
Yeah. And I was young.
How old were you when you got started?
I told you, I was 30 years old.
Oh, 30 years old, okay.
When I was 25, I was on the Mike Douglas Show, and I did Sledge-O-Matic. But I knew that I couldn't have a career with just one routine. And so I became a manager of a comedian singer, Jim Stafford. And he became very famous.
I remember him, Spiders and Snakes.
That's correct.
Okay.
And so I was his road manager and co-writer and confidant, and I did all of his business. And for 5 years, we had a summer show on ABC, and then I started my own career at 30. And so I knew everybody in the business by that time by being his manager. But, you know, before me, I wanted to tell Charlotte, there were no splash rides at the amusement parks. You see, I'm the first one that didn't care about the risk of people suing. We have such a litigious society that if you touch the patron, see, but I knew people wanted to have fun. So I rented the theaters. I didn't have an agent or a manager. I did it all myself. And so there was no one to tell me I couldn't do it and let's work around this and all the other things people say to not have any fun.
Right.
And so they owe me. I mean, Blue Man Group definitely wouldn't have ever happened if I hadn't shown them for years. They didn't copy me right away.
Yeah.
It was 10 or 15 years before entertainment lawyers probably said, well, I guess people don't sue. Gallagher seems to be going okay.
Wow.
And so all the splash rides, Shamu never splashed anybody, Quar, Insane Clown Posse, they have me at their get-togethers. IC, well, how do you call it? Insane Clown Posse? Whatever.
Yeah.
CP.
ICP, yeah.
Yeah. They have me there because they know I gave them their start. And, of course, they're overdoing it, sending these liter bottles of Faygo out into the audience. My God. But anyway, I started that. And I like to start things. I like to make the world a better place through creativity.
Obviously, but how did you get the idea of smashing watermelons on the stage? I mean, that's very unusual. Most people do not think of things like this to make people laugh. So this must have been like a serious thing that you thought about.
No, it was a satire. You see, before infomercials, it was odd to see somebody buy a half an hour of television just to sell a product and talk to you. So when that first occurred, I wanted to make fun of it. And so I saw the Veg-O-Matic commercial. And I said, well, just call it Sledge-O-Matic and hit it with a hammer. Now, for me to say to myself, well, you could do this on stage and people would find it humorous, is another thing that's a different talent. The first thing I did was write the routine. I sent it to George Carlin and Albert Brooks because I was a chemist. I didn't need a comedy routine. George wrote me back and said he writes all his own material. So 5 years later, after I had been Jim Stafford's road manager, I decided to go back and use the routine. And so now people had seen infomercials for 5 years. But it was at the beginning of cable. And so they associate me and my outrageousness with the beginning of being able to talk dirty.
So this was at about the same time?
In 1980, yeah. In fact, I think that Kaleidoscope. What is the name of that kids channel that dumps the green goo on you?
Nickelodeon.
Right. Yeah, they definitely copied me because we both started at that very same time, and they knew they were smart enough to know you have to do things on the screen to entertain the kids.
Right.
You know, so I always have props in my show: a big bike, a big couch. I have toys so that the kids are entertained. I know the family is sitting down on the couch to watch. You can't just, these kids these days, these comedians, they talk about themselves. Who cares?
Yeah.
Unless that's yourself to a psychiatrist. Therapy. They think it's therapy. I have a problem coming up with words. I had 4 heart attacks, and the last one, they put me in a coma, and I know it disrupted my hard drive. And so I can't think of really. The other day I was in New York and I couldn't think of cab. I said, can't we just take one of these yellow things and we pay them and they drive? I couldn't think of the word. It's so strange.
That's frustrating.
It is frustrating when your body lets you down. I don't even know what to eat anymore. It all seems like it's going to clog my artery.
Wow.
Nothing's any good.
Yeah.
But I make fun of that.
Yeah.
I will talk about myself if I'm warning you that you could die from what you're doing right now, kids.
What made you want to get into comedy? Because you graduated from college with a chemical engineering degree, right?
Well, I told you I wanted to be a smart comedian and not be another one of these Animal House idiots. And I think that you can tell a smart joke. Just yesterday, I'm so proud of finding this, I said that I found the word press and prestidigitate, and so I said that America has freedom of prestidigitation. This is how we make facts and money disappear and wealth and everything. I really enjoy that. I can hardly wait to say that on stage. And that's also that we keep track of the books, so we have leisure domain. I love this because it's kind of a French word play on words, that if we have domain over the ledger, which we do since we print the money, and the Chinese are dumb enough to loan it back to us. I don't know how it works, but it's not. My son says it's all going to fall apart and we're all going to be using Dogecoins. But I love this leisure domain. I love finding veg and sledge rhyming. I wouldn't have made all these millions of dollars if there wasn't that accident of language. And
that's
so
true.
I enjoy language as well as science. And I enjoy the internet because I get so much information. It used to be so hard to do research. And now you can just find things out so quickly. Like I know about the water quality, what I'm telling you about the Olympics is going to... You're going to see. The Olympics are going to be a big bust. You're going to say, you know what Gallagher told me about
exactly.
this 2 years ago.
When
but it's not me.
Show.
It's on the internet. They're warning us right now that... That no one's going to want to be in the water down. They have a different attitude in South America, that they don't need to do it right away and the sun is shining and they, you know, they're going to go to the beach.
Really? Have you been there at all? Did you ever travel there?
No, not to South America. But I went around the world with the Navy entertaining the troops here and there.
What years were those?
About 3 years ago, about 2 weeks after I got back, I had a heart attack. So I'm lucky I didn't have a heart attack in one of those 13-hour flights took across Russia and across the Pacific and across the North Pole. And
so you've survived 4 of those? 4 heart attacks?
Yes.
Wow.
Starting in 2000.
You probably have 9 lives, so you still have a
maybe
few to
you
go.
Maybe you think I have 5 more?
At least, yeah.
I am a Leo, and I was born in the sign of Leo. My name is Leo, and I am in the spotlight. I do epitomize everything about that astrological sign, so I guess I could be a cat.
Yeah. Now, did you ever dream when you started get into comedy and stuff? Did you ever dream that you were going to be this big?
Yeah. I only would do it if I thought I would succeed. You see, nobody wants to do this hard job of going across America performing live to people's face. They all want a talk show or a sitcom.
Right, yeah.
They want to get paid. They want to a lot for doing a little. They want to hang around their house. They want somebody else to write. But me, I am a writer. Every day I get ideas, and my career is a way of me disseminating those. Like I told you, I can hardly wait to make a joke out of freedom of prestidigitation and leisure domain. It might be too smart, but I don't care. Like I said, I want to tell smart jokes.
Right. I love. There's a market for it.
I like wordplay, and I love my English language. We should have this in common, being from England, that I'm upset about so much French in English, and I do a whole routine about it. Really? We have all these Spanish. You know, I ran for governor of California.
And, you did?
Oh, I got 16th. That's on the internet. You know, I got third in many of the mountain counties where marijuana is grown. They thought that I was the third best candidate. And but my point is that with all these Spanish people, you'd think there would be more Spanish phrases and words in our language. But no,
it's French.
Almost all French. When you think of the really important words like resume or fiancé, the person you're going to marry, or the list of everything you've ever done in your life, plus the things you want to be, to have prestige, these goals are all in French. Mm. And French was the first language of politics, so it has a lot of areas of gray. And Americans love to sit on the fence and not make a decision and say two things at once.
Really?
What do you mean, really?
So use like words from another language?
Of course we do. We don't say we're going to the store. We're going to a boutique, not to the beauty shop, to the salon. We don't say something small. It's petite. It's not sexy. It's just risque. They're not having sex with this young girl. That's their protege. You see? All of that, boulevard, avenue, cul-de-sac, there's signs that say souvenir, antique, cafe, buffet, cabaret, Home Depot. The French is everywhere.
You're right. We don't even notice that.
Yeah. No, but it's my job.
That's your job. There you go.
To point
out. Now you raised the issue.
I do. Our language has been infiltrated.
Right.
And you really can't talk about the army without speaking French because of Napoleon. He's the one that set the whole thing up. Battalion and echelons is how they're arranged. They lay siege to a city. They have a bayonet on the end of their little rifle. En garde, touché. Although they wear fatigue. They wake to reveille. It's all you can't really go to war. Go in the kitchen, which is the word
cuisine.
People say, "Oh, I love French cuisine." You love the kitchen. You eat the kitchen. You're eating that room. Americans are so stupid. And but food, army, and love all are French. You have to be French. There's a valet in front of the restaurant and a maitre d', and you order a la carte, your entree, you can get the soupe du jour.
Wow, especially in eating. Yeah. You're right.
Oh, and everything in the kitchen. But you see, Americans don't talk so people will understand them. We love to come up with something else instead of what we mean. We don't say we're busy. We say I have too much on my plate, you see? And we don't say you're stepping
like
on
cliche.
My feet.
Yeah.
They're not cliches,
not
which cliche. Is a French word.
Oh, right.
A cliche is something that's said so much we're tired of
it. Okay, okay.
These are called figures of speech.
Right.
If you say, he bit my head off, you don't mean that he actually bit your head, but it's a figure of speech.
Right.
It's not the truth. And so Americans
don't.
They call
it a simile or something?
No. A simile and a metaphor uses like or as, where we might say pretty as a picture or
well, one
as
of them
easy
does,
as
but the
pie.
Other one doesn't.
No.
You're saying both simile and metaphor?
A simile uses like or as. A metaphor says something is something else.
Okay, all right.
But I'm not saying that.
No,
I'm not saying that you yelling at me is like someone biting my head off, since I really don't know what it feels like to have my head decapitated.
Right.
But this is how we love to. Americans are bloody. We love to use images like nose to the grindstone. Mm-hmm. We love pioneer terms. When they came over from England, they went wild. And they love like haywire. Things went haywire pertaining to cutting a bale of hay and how the wire can actually get you. It can hurt you unless you run really fast. But we love to say things like pan out. Did you ever heard that before you came over here? Things didn't pan out.
It
didn't.
Yeah.
You did? Mm-hmm. They use that in England?
Yeah.
Well, you know it only refers to gold mining in 1849 in California.
Oh, wow.
When you would buy, you would pay for the mineral rights to a plot of land, and then it either panned out or not. Either you got your money back, you see? And so that term it must have gone back to England. But it's a very important concept. Something didn't work out.
Right.
And we use it every day on the news. I feel so sorry for anybody trying to learn English. We say things like, we're not out of the woods yet.
Right.
Do you know this one?
Yeah.
We love to talk sports. We like to say it came out of left field, right off of the bat. You're on deck. I want to touch base with you. I'm up against the ropes. It's time to throw in the towel. I was saved by the bell. I don't want to pull any punches. This is how we talk right out of the starting gate, down the home stretch. It's all about sports or blood.
That's true.
In America.
We are a pretty violent society, wouldn't you say?
Our language, the images that we create when we speak, because this is what I do as I'm talking, what a comedian does. The object of comedy is to lead you down the garden path and then betray you. I want to create a picture in which you think one thing is happening and then turn it at the end, you see. And so I pay attention to that when people do it, everyday people in everyday speech. And I notice the skin of your teeth. What an odd phrase, because we don't really have skin on our teeth. And so I looked it up. I love the internet. I can find everything out. And it pertained to the fact that the last skin that rotted on a body, on your person from the Black Plague was the gums.
So
that's what they're calling that. I love the internet, don't you?
Yeah.
You can find everything out. It's all true.
And I admire that, you know, because many people from...
There's no excuse for ignorance.
Exactly.
Anymore.
You know? But some people in their 60s just don't want to mess with this stuff, you know? They're like, oh,
I won't talk to anyone who doesn't have a smartphone. I'm tired of it. I just don't have time for people to tell me that they can't handle it. That means I'm not interested in you.
Right.
I want to be with people who are curious and on the cutting edge.
Right.
I don't want to be with people that are making excuses for why they're lazy and stupid.
Right.
Really.
So now, let's promote the Ice House event this weekend.
I'm going to be there Thursday and Friday and Saturday, and I'm trying to get them to let me be there on Sunday, since Monday is a vacation day.
That's true.
It turns Sunday into a Saturday. And I want as many days as possible to try different material.
Oh, that's
because
cool.
So once I have it recorded, say on Thursday, I don't want to say that on Friday.
Right.
I'm going to come up with new. I have so many poems that I have written that I want to put on the album. Children's poems that teach kids a little bit. You know, nobody knows how to eat. And so I want to help them to understand eating. Because kids will say, I don't like it. What's that got to do with it? What does that have to do? And where does it say?
In fact,
that your body only can use things that your tongue likes. In fact, it's the opposite. Everything your tongue likes is no good for you.
That's true.
And everything that is good for you has no taste. Broccoli is so good for you. A salad. People say, well, I'm going to have a salad. There's not enough green in the lettuce. And then you're going to put mayonnaise. You might as well have a hamburger for the amount of saturated fat. Do you know why you have to avoid saturated fat? Because the molecule is similar to cholesterol. It's two benzene rings, and so is cholesterol. And so the body easily makes cholesterol out of saturated fat. This is why you have to look at it on the label. But what do you get with a salad? Maybe some shavings of carrot and one little pearl tomato, and you think you're doing yourself any good at all? I'm amazed everyone doesn't have a heart attack.
Do you feel that because of your heart attacks, you've become a lot more aware of this?
Oh, yeah. Well, of course. I didn't eat for a week after my heart attack. I wasn't sure what made any sense. Certainly the doctors didn't know what they were doing. They they brought me spaghetti with meat sauce for my first meal after my heart attack right over here at Sherman Oaks hospitals where I had my first one. And I said, I'm not going to eat that. I can see the grease. Wow. I can see. They said, well, what would you like? And I said, almonds. I don't know why.
Really?
But then I discovered that they're almost all fat.
Right.
Oh, I don't know what to eat anymore. It's so depressing. It's a wonderful diet, though. I'm slim and trim because I'm disgusted with everything. I think that even Coke, the sugar raises your... what is it? Adrenaline, and these hurt the endothelial cells. It's all about these little cells that line the arteries.
Right.
Because when they're injured, the body repairs them with cholesterol. Cholesterol saves your life and kills you. You see, I had to study to discover what was going on in my body.
Yeah.
Because it's a hard patch.
Yeah.
See, it's like putting a hard patch on an inner tube because your arteries have to expand. They have muscle in them. Your veins don't. And so I actually have more arteries than most people. I have 6 arteries to my heart. I have extra ones called, I can't remember the name now.
So you're saying that people have varying numbers of those arteries?
Well, most people have 2 in the front and 2 in the back.
Okay.
Left anterior descending. The LAD is the one that men usually get. If you go to the exercise class after a heart attack, you'll see all the same guys. They all own a business. They're type A's.
Really?
They smoke cigarettes and drink coffee all day. Their wife is very concerned about them, and they're going bald. I don't know why the testosterone and the type A personality, but we were all the same. I looked around the room. Every one of us were overachievers, working our butts, and our wives concerned. But I have discovered, though, that women have just as many heart attacks. I just didn't see them in that exercise class. I don't know how they're having their heart attack.
Yeah. But so if you slow down a little bit, I can tell now you're still pretty energetic and everything, but no. I'm wondering if you were ever even more so.
No. I decided to just be a comet and burn myself out. What good a boring life? I've had a wonderful life, 67. If you live to be 75, I've done most of it, haven't I?
Yeah.
And I made myself famous. I made the whole country laugh. I did over 3,000 shows. I changed. Kids come up to me and they say, Gallagher, you're the first comic I ever saw. Or, I was raised on you. That's what they tell me.
Yeah.
This can only happen after you've spent a lifetime doing something, yeah. Charlotte.
That's true.
You're at the beginning of your life. I'm just telling you, this is we're like bookends. to use all of your days working hard to make people laugh or think, you can only reap the benefits at the end of your life and have they bring me their kids. That's something,
really?
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Or for me to meet a comedian who says, I went into comedy because of you.
Right.
Because they thought that everyone had to be stupid to do comedy and that you had to, talk about beer.
Right.
And so does that kind of make it worthwhile for you? Like this feedback that people, kids grew up on you and watching you.
It's all about feedback. Like I said at the beginning of my interview, you shouldn't think about yourself to do comedy. It's not therapy. You should know your audience. And if you're going to travel around the United States, you're going to have Southerners, Westerners, New Englanders, Midwesterners. You have to have so much different material. You see, the Midwesterners look at all the comedians from Los Angeles and New York and just their mouth drops and they can't figure out, what are you?
Whoa,
what kind
really?
Of an animal are you?
It's like different people.
Yeah,
different life.
And of course, the comedians will say, boy, those people in the Midwest are really slow and stupid. They're just amazed at how self-centered you are and don't understand everyday people.
Right.
You have to hang with them. People don't laugh about things that didn't happen to them. You don't talk about your limousine and your manager. you know, and, right. and you're
so you
have
relate
to talk
to the
about
others.
I've got so many jokes about farming, farm animals, and I hang with these with the people. I've been to so many state fairs. These kids at I call everybody kid because I'm so old, but I go to the improv or the comedy store. None of those kids are ever getting a job at a state fair. They're no one's ever going to hire them to stand in front of the bleachers in the racetrack and talk to people with their kids in strollers. You know, you only get a show that works on Sunset Boulevard, and it's about cocaine and prostitution. You know, they're rough and they're dumb and like, you know. And I think that what are you doing? Yeah. You know, and I think the TV stations too don't know anything about the Midwest. They continually put on shows that they like that the Midwest says, "What's this about?"
Right, they don't relate to it at all.
No.
Now, I wanted to ask you this, because as we've been talking and stuff, I recall that some comedians say that if you're a good comedian, you don't need props. And they dismiss those people that have props. Now, you are very funny without your props. Why did you feel that you had to add those to your
I didn't routine? Have to. It's the proper thing to do. It's a visual medium. Mm-hmm. I entertained. In psychology, if you stimulate an organism in a certain place, after a while, they become habituated to that stimulation. In other words, the longer I talk, the less you pay attention to talking. If I pull something out of my pocket, all of a sudden, you're reinterested in what I'm doing because I'm stimulating you in a new place. Right. And so I understand that. And like I told you, the family is sitting on the couch. The kids don't care about another adult talking, but they want to see my toys. Right. And are they colorful? And are they the same color as the background? Do they easily stand out against the background? What is the lighting like? If you look at my shows, the lighting's beautiful. I used Riesenberger lighting, the most expensive and the best lighting company in town. And I used B-format trucks, the same ones that the Osmonds used for their beautiful shows that they made. And it's not that I had to. I have, well, you can see right here, I never shut up. I do a 3-hour show, and props are not something you can do for 3 hours. See, Henny Youngman would tell a little short joke and a little short joke and a little short joke. Well, now you can, that's funny for about 15 or 20 minutes, but that's not going to work. Right. Yeah. For the whole show.
That's 3 hours, true, yeah.
No.
That's a
you
long
have to
show.
Tell stories. It has to, things have to take 5 to 10 minutes, and that you do 6 to 7 things in an hour, you see?
Right.
Like that. I am a professional talker, entertainer, live.
Right.
There aren't a lot of us.
Right. That's true.
It's
that's
hard.
True. Right.
I made a study of it. I look at what I do every night and try to do a better job. I'm not worried about myself. I'm worried about, did the audience enjoy it? Where were they quiet? Where did I lose them? How can I do this better?
Right.
Every day I want to be better at what I do. You keep what works, you drop what don't.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you end up with good material. Every time I made a video, I already knew it was going to do good because I had been using the material for 6 months.
Right. And
I had been doing it in front of humans.
Right.
As a scientist.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. So I
mean, want them to enjoy.
So you take comedy very seriously. That's the bottom line.
Any job I would. I was a really good chemist. Mm-hmm. I was also a good carpenter, and for a while I was a fisherman in Florida. And I just approach each thing to do it well. I think I'm a smart guy, and I would have done anything that I chose to do well. And I'm doing other things. You know, I keep up with physics. I meet with physics departments at colleges as I travel across the country. I meet with psychology departments, and I meet with companies. I have a lot of inventions and also games. I'm working with some companies on games. This is why I can retire from comedy. I have so many business activities. I have a new restaurant chain that I've invented called Spaghetti's Ready. So that kids get to play in the food and have more fun when they go to the restaurant. I have a plan for family reunion resorts that I'm talking to the NBA about, having at all of the NBA locations so that families can have a reunion, go to the game, and not be in hotels, which are not made for families. What I do is I'm like from another planet. I came here to Earth and I look at what humans are doing and I try to tell them how they could have more fun and do it better.
Yeah, and I think you're well qualified.
I am. I keep my distance. You can't be involved. Right. People think I'm political, but I've never voted. Then I'd have skin in the game. Yeah. There's another bloody image. Right. I ain't seen hide nor hair of him. Well, let's hightail it out of town. We run him out of town on a rail. Yeah. I'm scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Now, listen, Gallagher, we're running out of time. Why don't you go ahead? I want you to promote exactly what time, when people can come.
Well, I don't know that, but if they search me on Google, they'll get my website, Gallagher Smash, and they'll see that I'm going to be at the Ice House Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. If you can't do that, you're too stupid for my show.
There
I don't
you go,
want you there.
Yeah. Now, are you traveling currently? I mean,
yes. You'll see when you go on my website that I have other shows and that I've come from other shows. I've just been in Florida and Palm Beach, and like I said, I was at Talladega. And I travel all around the country shows.
Very cool.
This is what I do.
Awesome. Now, is your home here in LA though?
No, my son is. My daughter lives in Phoenix, and I have business activities all around the country, so I really don't have a home base. I feel like I belong to America and that I'm at home everywhere in this country. Like I said, I think I know it better than most of these politicians.
Yeah, absolutely. You should run for office.
Well, I don't want to, because then I'd have to take a position. I couldn't criticize people in my own party. And you end up a gray person. I'm not gray.
Yeah, that's true. Gallagher, thank you so much for joining us. You're definitely a lot of fun, memorable. And we appreciate this. You challenged us. You challenged everybody today. And I think that's a good thing. You know, I love intellectual conversation, and you definitely have a lot to bring to the table. So we thank you, everybody. Go out and check out GallagherSmash.com. And also, I guess if they just Google you, they'll find you everywhere, right? Are you on Twitter or Facebook?
I have 5 pages of video on YouTube, and I didn't post them. Everybody else posts them.
Awesome.
I love it.
Yeah. Well, I definitely want to catch some of your older shows, too, and stuff. But you know what? I'm going to make it a point to come and see you, because it's not an everyday occurrence.
No, it's the end of a long career. 35 years back to the place I started. A big circle is completing.
Good for you. Good for you. Well, thank you, Charlotte. Thank you.
Thank you. See you tomorrow.
Thanks, everybody. See you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte, right here on LA Talk Radio.